This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
I remember one summer while I was still a college student that I worked for a contractor, and he was building houses. And I learned a lot during those few months that I worked with him. And one of the things I learned about building houses is where you start. You always start with the foundation of the house. And you can build it on piers or you can build it on a slab. The foundation is the beginning point of a house. But the foundation of anything is extremely important. Can you begin to imagine the enormity of the foundation under the Empire State Building? It must go deep into the earth to hold that structure up. Today we want to talk about a foundation that's referred to in the Bible as a sure foundation. It's a foundation that will last, a foundation upon which you can depend. Please stay tuned as we discuss that subject. I'm Billy Lambert, and I'm the regular speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible. And I want you to know that if this is the first time that you have ever seen the telecast, we want to welcome you today. And if you are one of those persons who watches the telecast every time it's on the air, we want to thank you again for tuning in. Now today on Getting to Know Your Bible, we're offering a Bible course. This is a free Bible course, which will aid you in getting to know the Bible much better. You study it in the privacy of your own home in order that you might know more about the course and how you can receive it. Let's pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible Correspondence Course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I'm going to be reading now from the 28th chapter of Isaiah, verse 16, and I want you to listen carefully while I read this passage. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Now the imagery in this passage of a foundation being laid, a foundation stone, a sure foundation, comes from the practice of Oriental kings in using foundation stones of enormous size and weight. And they would use them at the corners of their building in the building of the foundation. When Solomon's temple was built, there were some enormous stones that were used, 38 feet long, weighing some 100 tons. But the reference in Isaiah 28:16 is not a reference to the stones used in Solomon's temple. It's not referring to the practice of Oriental kings to use huge stones in the foundations of their structures, but it's a reference to Jesus Christ. And Acts 4 and 11 says, "This is the stone which was set at naught of your builders." And then verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other. Well, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved." Jesus Christ is the stone. He is the foundation stone for which we talk about today. The foundation of anything is important. As a matter of fact, the foundation of your life is important. And parents are to help their children as they mature, as they grow, to lay a good foundation, a foundation of character, foundation of integrity, a foundation of that will aid them in the rest of their lives and help them. A life that is not built upon a good foundation is going to struggle in their quest for being successful in life. Can you imagine, as I mentioned earlier, the foundation under the Empire State Building? Can you imagine the foundation under the Capitol of the United States of America? You know, the foundation is important in religious matters. And a religion that is not built upon a solid foundation will come to ruin. Our Lord, in the 7th chapter of Matthew, put it like this, beginning in verse 24, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, him will I liken unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And the rains came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." But then he went on to say, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, him will I liken unto a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." These men had some things in common. They both heard, they both built. They might have even built houses that looked quite similar. But there was one distinct difference in the two builders. One man built upon a solid foundation, that is, and Jesus referred to that foundation as that person who would hear his word and then do something about it, that is, obey his word. The other man built upon a sandy foundation, that is, he would hear, but he did nothing about it. And his building, his life, collapsed. And so the foundation is, to me, a solid foundation. Have you ever wondered what upon people build their lives? Well, when it comes to a person's spiritual life, some build upon the foundation of their own human goodness. I've actually had people to tell me, "I think I'm all right just as I am." I said, "You mean to tell me you don't need Christ?" "Oh, no. You don't need to benefit from the shed blood of Jesus." "Oh, no, I'm good just like I am." They're building upon sand because their human goodness is referred to in Isaiah 64 and verse 6 as filthy rags. It is a foundation that will collapse when the storms of life begin to beat upon it. Some build their life upon man-made religions or man-made doctrines. But Jesus said, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." They are not going to stand. They're not going to last. And then others build on their opinions. It's very, very common today, in religious matters especially, for people to say, "Well, this is the way I see it. Here is my opinion. This is the way I look at it." I could not tell you how many times over the years that I've been preaching, I've heard people say things of that nature. But you see, they're talking about their opinion about matters. When it comes to our relationship with God, our opinion means nothing. It's what the Lord says that means everything. It's not in, there is a way that might seem right to a man, but Solomon said the way is the way of death, Proverbs 14, verse 12. So our opinions mean absolutely nothing. That is a life built upon the sand when we build on our opinions, the way we feel, what we think. We need to know what does God say. Let God be true, Romans 3, verse 4. And every man a liar, we're told in that passage. If your life is built upon a foundation other than Jesus Christ, it is built upon an unauthorized, inadequate foundation. Listen to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Jesus ought to be the heart and the core of your life. He is the foundation of your life. And so if your life is not built upon that solid rock, Jesus Christ as the foundation of your life, you're building on sinking sand. Now, I want to hasten to say that Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church. Go back to Acts chapter 4 and verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of your builders. And then verse 12, he says there's no salvation in the other than Jesus. One stone is not as good as another stone. One name is not as good as another name. It must be built, our life must be built on Jesus Christ, who is the stone of our lives. And our lives must be built upon that solid rock. So Jesus Christ is the stone. Listen to Matthew 21, verse 42. Have you not read in the Scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same is become the head of the corner. In the second chapter of Ephesians, in the 20th verse, Paul had reference to the temple of God, the family of God, or the church, all of those referring to the same thing. Sometimes God's people referred to as being the temple of God, the family of God. I think more than any other designation, they are referred to as family. But they're also referred to as the temple of God or the church. Now listen to Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone was the beginning place when a structure was going to be built. They'd lay that foundation stone in the corner and they would build the foundation from there. And Jesus Christ is that tried stone. He's referred to as being a precious stone, a sure stone. He's also referred to in the Bible as the rock. In Matthew 16 and 18, in addressing the Apostle Peter, after Peter had made this marvelous confession, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's in the 16th verse. Jesus said in verse 17, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, which simply means son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee. So no man told you this, Peter, but my Father which is in heaven. Now verse 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now the church is built upon the rock. And the word rock in the Greek language refers to a huge stone. When the word, the Greek word is translated Peter, it does not refer to a huge stone. It refers to like a small pebble. Hence, I know the church is not built upon Peter. Rather, it is built upon the foundation of the confession Peter made in verse 16. You're the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. That's not my opinion about it. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. Now, there's not a greater thought that an individual could ever entertain than the thought that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Are you aware, and I'm sure possibly you are, that in Bible times there were those who actually gave their lives because they believed that statement? Stephen was stoned to death. James was beheaded. Others died because they believed Jesus Christ was the Son of God. We're not a persecuted people in America, not as were they. But still, it is not very popular for an individual to claim that they believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God. As a matter of fact, perhaps the most despised name today is the name of Jesus in the eyes of some people. But the most glorious name is the name Jesus. There's just something about that name. Oh, the name of Jesus. And Jesus is the foundation. He is that stone. Upon this rock, what's the rock? The confession that Peter made, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon that biblical truth, the church was to be built. And Jesus as the foundation stone is the Savior of the structure. He is the Savior of the church. Ephesians 5, verse 23. Now the foundation was laid in a certain place, in a certain city. It was laid in the city of Jerusalem. And there were a number of hills in Jerusalem, one of those hills being Zion. And the word Zion is synonymous with the name Jerusalem. When you talk about Zion, you're talking about Jerusalem. When you talk about Jerusalem, you're talking about Zion. It was predicted back in the second chapter of Isaiah and verses 2 and 3 that the church or the house of God would be built in the city of Jerusalem. Listen to the passage, verse 2 beginning. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. See, there are several hills in the city of Jerusalem. And shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, we will walk in his paths. Now listen to this part of verse number 3. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. That's that phrase, or that part of verse 3 is known as parallelism, where the second part of that is the same as the first part. He says the law of the Lord would go out of Zion, and then it would go the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. That's talking about the very same thing. So the church had its beginning in the city of Jerusalem. The disciples in Luke 24:49 were told to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they would be endued with on high. And they would all be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. That is, the apostles would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, when you come to the second chapter of Acts, it begins like this. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Was it actually tongues of fire? No. It was as of tongues of fire, and set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is what we refer to sometimes as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the apostles and only the apostles were overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit. And by doing so, God gave them the power, the ability to speak languages they had never studied before. When he talked about speaking in tongues, he was not talking about some kind of ecstatic utterance. He was talking about a literal language. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded. Why? Because they heard every man speaking his own tongue. And they said, are not all of these Galileans? How is it that we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? You know, I was born in the English tongue. I was not born speaking, likely crying, but it's not speaking, but I was born where English is a predominant language. And these people came from so many different places around the then known world, and they came with different languages and dialects. How were the apostles going to preach to these people? Well, they didn't have time to run down to the University of Jerusalem and take a crash course in all of these languages. What happened? God gave them the power or the ability, if you please, to speak languages that they had never studied. Why? So they could preach to these people. Well, if I were to go to some foreign country and I did not know that language, I would have to have an interpreter. A dear friend of mine for the past 30 years has been going to Ukraine, and he still does that. He's there right now teaching people. But he has to use an interpreter. But if he had was an apostle in the days of the apostolic church, when the church had its very beginning, he wouldn't need an interpreter. Because he had been baptized with the Holy Spirit, he'd be able to speak whatever language he needed to speak. That was a miracle. And men today do not have that same power. But the point I'm trying to make is the church had its beginning in the city of Jerusalem. They were there to on the birthday of the church, the very first day the church began. It began on the day of Pentecost. And Pentecost always fell on the first day of the week or Sunday. A lot of important events took place on the first day of the week. For example, Jesus was raised from the dead on Sunday, the first day of the week. And it was in the city of Jerusalem, as Isaiah predicted back in Isaiah chapter 2, that God's word would be proclaimed. And it was in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, recorded in Acts chapter 2, that the Apostle Peter preached the first recorded gospel sermon under the worldwide commission, where Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is exactly what Peter was doing. Well, what do you suppose a man like Peter would preach to those people? He preached Jesus to them. And he said, you men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. So Peter preached about Jesus. He preached about his life, the miracles that he performed. And he said, you know, I'm telling you the truth. These were the enemies of Jesus he was talking to. The people who clamored for his death and saying, crucify him. And he said, you know that I'm telling you the truth because you saw him perform these miracles. And he said, I want you to know that you crucified the Son of the living God. But you also need to know that in keeping with a prediction made by the prophet David in Psalm 16 and 10, that God raised him from the dead. And when they heard that, they were pricked in their hearts, verse 36. As they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we need to do? Now they understood they'd crucified the anointed one. They'd crucified the Messiah. They'd crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And it troubled them. They were pricked in their hearts, cut to the quick, convicted. Well, how do you suppose Peter answered their question? Now remember, this is the first sermon under this commission to go preach the gospel to all mankind. Peter answered and said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and as many as are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And when, with many other words, did testify and exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. One version says this crooked generation. And then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Acts 2:41. The church began in the city of Jerusalem, built upon the foundation stone, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus Christ is our Savior today. Jesus wants to save every person in this world. It is not God's plan, it is not God's design that any single person be lost. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. He would have all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. But I want to know, are you saved? Have you done what the Bible teaches? Have you done what Peter said to do? When the people asked, what shall we do? And they now believed in Christ, and he tell them, well, what you need to do as a believer in Jesus is to repent of your sins. And you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, that your sins be remitted. We understand the word remission when we speak of a person having cancer, getting treatments. They're successful, we say, is in remission. And Jesus is in the remission business. And Jesus wants to remit our sins, forgive our sins by his precious blood. I want to urge you to think on these things. And if you have been thinking about your soul salvation, and you say, well, I just need someone to help me, someone to guide me, call us. We want to help you. But to aid you in your study along this line, I want to urge you to pick up the telephone right now. Call for the free Bible correspondence course. Please do that without hesitation. And also, I want to give you a personal invitation to visit the Church of Christ in your community. And I want you to know that we love you, we care for you, and the reason that we have getting to know your Bible on television is because we care for you. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.